Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonner with Julie Hayden. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True straight up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Well, a lot of developments to a certain extent, and then to a certain extent, no development, really, in the Tina Peters case. I'm sure everybody knows by now, Donald Trump did indeed issue a pardon of
Tina
Peters.
So much to surprise a lot of people. Last week.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
He's going to do that.
Right.
And they're going to do that. And he did. Oh, yeah, we predicted that.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot. So we're going to talk, kind of do a deep dive into all of that today. In the meantime, so also what happened is Tina had gone to the federal court asking them to let her out on bond while she's appealing the case. And the judge there, kind of, you know, stupid judge like, pardon me, but said, well, you know, there are some issues of whether the judge, you know, did
a little much.
It was a little severe sentence, and, you know, because of your First Amendment, you know, violating your First Amendment rights, but I'm not going to look into that now. So he's kicked it back to state court. So,
well, saying you haven't exhausted your state remedies, and therefore, until the Supreme Court rules, I can't do it.
I can't do anything.
And of course,
I can release Trendy.
Trendago. We can stop. You know, we can do anything we want. But oh no, we wouldn't want before you exhaust your remedies.
So
because we know this is so tied down. And of course, the Colorado Supreme Court is in no hurry to tear down Tina's appeal. So
a couple of things I want to talk about. We could talk about like the legal, because there's all kinds of theories out there in terms of the legal. And Jacob, I see you've already put something up there, the legal theories. And I think there's something to be said for that. And bottom line, we'll talk more about this. It comes up to the judge. But a couple of things I think happen that's good, at least. And in the meantime, what this did, it does seem to have at least improved Tina's situation. She's being held in a women's prison in Pueblo, I think it is, or near Pueblo at any rate. And things seem to be at least a little bit better, according to her attorney, John Case, who was on Steve Bannon today. So,
good for John. We all know John pretty well. And it's, even if you're an attorney, even if you're an 80-year-old attorney, it's great to be on national media.
So, Thomas, if you could please play the John Case soundbite.
Oh, we got the soundbite. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. President Trump issued the pardons. Tina has been kept in a new solitary confinement portion of the prison. And she has a detail of four special DOC corrections officers that accompanies her everywhere. So she's grateful because she has a new 4-inch mattress instead of the 2-inch mattress that she had before, and she in her old cell, and she has a microwave. But she has these four corrections officers accompanying her everywhere she goes. She still has her cough, and she has not had the necessary PET CT scan that's recommended for people like her with a cough and a history of lung cancer. So Tina wanted me to mention that she's very grateful to your listeners, Steve, for their prayers for her and for their financial support of her at tinapeters.us. People can get the latest information and support Tina at tinapeters.us.
That's good news, because, you know, some of the previous...
Well, it's out there, but she can at least talk to the four guards. She has four guards now.
They had her in the general population, and she was at least alleging that she was being attacked by the other inmates. Prison is not a fun place, right? And she's a 69-year-old woman. So it seems like right now, with all attention on her, that the Department of Corrections, which, by the way, the DOJ has also launched an investigation into, sort of on broader reasons, does not want anything bad to happen. happened to Tina Peters. So they put her in a, I guess for lack of a better word, a nice solitary confinement, not as punishment, but I think to protect her. And they've got those four guards there, they say. I think what this does is, I have to imagine, well, first, so to back up, so Ticken, her attorney, her other attorney, sent a letter to the Department of Corrections last week saying, okay, we're on our way, we should be there any minute now.
Can't wait.
Tina, can you get her stuff ready for us? Yeah. We'll be right there. And the Department of Corrections filed a sort of an official sounding letter back saying, you know, we don't recognize Donald Trump's pardon. Tina Peters is, you know, doing time in Colorado prison and we'll keep custody of her until her sentence is completed. And I imagine then what this does in one way, I think is good is this, I think that we'll talk, because there's a bit of a war of words going on, but this has got to kind of jump start it into federal court, right? I mean, the next move is Trump and the Department of Justice, right? To ask, to the courts, a federal court to order Colorado to
recognize the pardon.
I mean, is how would that play out? I mean, because the Department of Corrections.
You just filed a writ of mandamus ordering the, asking the court to order the Department of Corrections to release Pena pursuant to the pardon.
Okay. Now the Department of Corrections doesn't need to file anything, right? They're just going to.
They possession is 9/10 of the law. And they've got possession of Tina. So.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, and why don't you guys know too, if you want to go ahead and we're getting rid of all this chat GPT stuff up there, feel free to go ahead and type in a comment, or if you want to unmute yourself, go ahead and do that and you can comment
too.
Call in. 888-627-6008.
One more time.
888-627-6008. Yeah, now Jacob gets into something. There's been a lot of discussion about the various avenues that Trump could go. I think, though, before any of us get too excited about how good or not good the arguments are, we got to realize ultimately it's going to be a judge that decides. And as we've seen, the judge can do pretty much anything they want. Right?
Judge or judges, yeah. I mean, they got that great team. They took down the Venezuela tanker. The dark vessel tanker. So maybe they could send that over to Pueblo prison.
In the meantime, though, the Democrats are going back crazy, right? Phil Weiser, who's very progressive, is like freaking out all over the place, particularly on Channel 9. Jared Polis had somewhat of a restrained response, simply saying, we don't believe that Trump has the authority to pardon Tina Peters under our law, but we will abide by whatever the court decides, which I thought was kind of interesting. There's been a lot of suggestion that people thought Polis wanted to free her eventually, so he would look there. So Jacob had made the point there, and there is some theory, because we know the FBI raided Tina's house. The FBI, there are emails and exchanges between the prosecutor in Mesa County,
yes,
and FBI,
DOJ.
And then the Biden DOJ,
yeah.
Right? So there was clearly a lot of back and forth, and some of the emails sort of suggesting that they were like, look, we don't really actually have a case. Can somebody help us figure out how to have a case?
Yeah, can we come up with a case?
And so the Biden people came up with a case.
Oh, yeah, here you go.
So I think there was an argument that the feds were involved with it, that it was not a total Colorado prosecution, and therefore Trump could pardon her. I've seen some other legal arguments talking about cases historically, real old cases, I think, where there was sort of a nexus between a state case and a federal case, and the pardon was granted and upheld. I've seen other ones that say, well, this is a federal election, right? Tina was preserving records from a federal election, and therefore she can be pardoned on that ground. I think that, well, I mean, if you're Colorado, how would, do you see any obvious avenue, or could everything be blocked by Colorado?
Well, once again, you pointed out correctly that it's what the courts decide. The courts decide whether the arguments you had or that the pardon power should extend to states vis-a-vis the 14th Amendment adopted in 1865, or this or that, because every case in the world has or this or that or
yes.
this or that. It would be unusual and probably unlikely that the court will uphold the pardon, regardless of all the wonderful theories that ChatGPT came up with on behalf of the Tina's attorneys. So the odds on her getting out are good, but it is important, quite frankly, to keep the issue in the front burner. That helps when and if the Colorado Supreme Court, when it gets back from its winter vacation and its New Year's vacation, and it's Martin Luther King Day vacation, decides to look at her appeal
Right.
and render a decision, knowing that a federal court has already said that they have real problems with the conviction.
Yeah.
That makes those
Well, that's just the
justices.
conviction with the sentencing.
Well, the conviction was in part done because he excluded evidence that
Correct.
mattered.
But I don't think the judge, in denying the motion, didn't address that. But the judge did in denying them. I mean, that's an obvious issue in appeal. But the judge did point out that he felt that Tina did raise some
Well,
issues.
the judge has been awful. I mean,
Oh, yeah, the judge in the
the
case,
judge, what's
not the
his name
federal.
anyway? Should
I
be Beeman.
forget. Yeah.
Ben Beeman.
I forget. I
We
we
should
get ash
always,
on your
rather than
heels.
saying the judge, we always say who the judge is. And he was awful. I mean, he excluded all our defenses, excluded all our witnesses. He's a modern judge, which means that they do everything to get conviction. And when she asked, got the conviction, she didn't slobber over him. So he pontificated from the bench in really a disgraceful performance on the
Right,
sentencing.
right, right.
And the district court, it does its own sentencing, of course, go, whoa, that's really pretty shitty.
So if it ever gets back up to me, the federal court, then maybe
Well, if the state court proceedings ever end, which
they
they do
won't.
eventually, well, they will. The Colorado Supreme Court is not going to unduly delay it. It's not going to promote it or push it, but it won't unduly delay it. But I think that increases the chance the court will look at it harder, knowing that other courts are going to look at your
Right.
decision harder.
Right.
All that helps Tina. Now it's kind of, it's a
On the flip side,
small amount of water filling out the dam, but maybe eventually the dam will break.
the meantime, like you said, that clearly they're going out of the way now to protect her and keep her safe in prison. In the meantime, though, Trump is kind of ramping up the war on words. Like I said, Polis's was, I could thought that was kind of a strength, particularly given how all the other
Yeah, it is
Democrats are
very
going crazy,
restrictive.
saying, hey, we'll abide by whatever the court says.
Which is obvious, right? We're not going to abide with the court. Say, I'm going to hold that. Were there some question about whether you'd abide by a court order?
And then Trump today, though, he didn't take that very well. He called Polis, this is a quote, a weak and pathetic man who was run by the Tendayaragua gang. And he said Tina uncovered election integrity issues. They jailed her for that. And he told Polis free her immediately. Well, we all know that's not going to work because Polis is he's still a Democrat. He's not going to cave into that. But it
But
is interesting.
I think we just had the Heisman Trophy voting, and Vanderbilt, Thiago Bavia came in second, and he's known to be like Trump-like. He's very Trump-like. He's always saying things that are just the wrong thing to say. And so, if you're talking about a future president of the United States, so when they asked him what he thought of it, it was F the voters,
And the Heisman Trophy.
and the Heisman Trophy voters, and then later he extended it to Indiana. The entire state of Indiana. So that's Trumpian. I mean, that's very Trumpian. So
Indiana, in the
I
meantime.
think, well, screw the Somalis. They're garbage. They're garbage people. That's a little extreme, but maybe it's
Oops,
justice.
we have Jacob here talking too. So it seems that Venezuela was involved in the 2020 election, and that is why Trump is doing what he's doing to Venezuela. And then Leo says, Jacob, that's new to me. Where can I find info? And Leo, it's kind of all over the place. So what he's referring to is, in particular, the, and we've talked about this on the show, there are two guys who used to be ex-military guys in Venezuela, top.
Security guys, very
Yeah,
top
top. They
guys.
were spies, basically
They
top.
weren't spies, they were security people.
And they were high level, and they talk about the Smartmatic voting machines that were developed in Venezuela, and they said were basically solely developed to like rig elections there.
They claim that, yeah.
Yeah, they claimed that, and then they well, then they aren't just claiming it in like a New York Post tweet. They're claiming it in documents filed in
Not
court,
affidavits, but
and
affidavits.
say that they have they can prove it. They have evidence to support
Well, they're
this.
not saying they were using U.S. or rigged U.S. one, but they're saying they were specifically adopted in return for millions from the I guess if you go public.
They did, though, specifically say that the system was, they said, exported to the United States,
yeah,
along with personnel whose job, it was their job to figure out how to rig it in Venezuela, and then they came to the United States. Now you fast forward, Smartmatic is sold to a company called Sequoia. Fast forward a little bit more, Sequoia is bought by Dominion Voting Systems, which is what Tina Peters and we here in Colorado are doing with, and a lot of all the same people. And you're right, the guy said, the ex-military guy said, I don't know, I think he said, I don't know that every election was rigged, but I know that some were. And the other one said...
Well, some were outside the United States, you understand. He didn't say there's some in the United States. Well, yeah, there were some, like in Georgia and Wisconsin and
but at any rate, you know, that's and so that's where that comes from. And Donald Trump actually kind of referenced that a little bit too, not so much specifically Venezuela, but about, you know, connecting with Tina Peters and the whole thing. So Thomas, if you could please play the Trump soundbite.
That's all. They're good at cheating in elections. Very good at cheating. They're professionals at cheating, because we won in 2016 by a lot. The election was rigged in 2020. We have all the ammunition, all the stuff, and you'll see it come out. It's coming out in truckloads. And California's election, New York also, but California more than any other place is so rigged. It's such a rigged election. You know, we won the Hispanic vote. So a lot of people say Republican wouldn't win California, but I won the Hispanic vote. I won in Miami. Think of that. In Miami, I won the Hispanic vote. Along the Texas border, I won every single city or town touching the Texas border, and they're 85 to 90% Hispanic. We won the Hispanic vote. If the vote in California was legitimate, which it's not, they have 38 million ballots. Everything is mail-in voting. They mail out 38 million ballots, and they come in. Where the hell do they go, and where do they come from? It's a rigged election in California, because we would win California by a lot. And again, they feel they have the advantage with Hispanic. They don't.
And there you go, Jacob. That's the Trump saying truckloads of evidence soon coming out. And then from
Ray, waiting for that.
Yeah, and then Ray Garcia, Trump knew Polis wanted to run for president. Polis was going to pardon Tina and say, see, that proves I'm a moderate. Trump just destroyed that claim because he can now say he forced Polis to pardon Tina. And let's see. Okay, and then Jacob, I think there's something, those burn bags, the DOJ, that were not burned, that includes information on the 2020 election, as well as communication between Comey and Clinton within the last 5 years, which is within the statute of limitations. And the reason the burn bags were not burned is because with communications like emails, there are a sender and a receiver. So if the DOJ burned the emails and the receiver came up with that, how would they explain that? And then Dr. Donna says, how have you gone on to Trump saying he was going to make using machines in the U.S. something not to be done? And then Jacob points out Trump won more counties than ever before in 2020. I know Trump has said that, Dr. Donna, and I think that's a dream, right? But getting rid of all of the machines is something that certainly not going to happen in Colorado, right? But I do think what happened, there's a couple of good things about Trump keeping this to the forefront. Like we said before, one, I think.
Let me finish the other one. With the Trump one, you could have inserted for California, Colorado,
right,
in everything he said, and it would be just as applicable.
That's absolutely true. And keep in mind what Tina did. They keep saying, and Ash App points this out all the time, they keep saying that the media does that Tina was, you know, election crimes, she's an election denier, blah blah blah. What Tina Peters was actually convicted of was essentially lying about the identity and of a person who went in. So when she went to make copies, because Jenna Griswold and the Dominion were going to do their trusted build, so they were going to delete the 2016 2020 trusted election results, right? So Tina Peters made a copy. Now, because she didn't personally know how to make a copy, she brought in a guy to do that. She tried to go the right way, right? She tried to tell Jenna Griswold, hey, look, we need to make a copy. We need to make a copy. Jenna Griswold said, you're bothering me. And then tried, they think they charged her with, I mean, they said, influencing public officials. It's like she was just asking to do her job, but she was convicted basically of bringing in this person that she said she lied about his identity. And she lied to two people. So that's the two charges. And those are the two felonies. So keep that in mind when they talk about all of that, when they talk about the election. But I think, you know, again, I think it forces the Colorado Department of Corrections to keep her a little bit safer. I think sooner or later, and I would imagine sooner rather than later, because we thought he'd never pardoned her. I mean, so I bet.
What do we know?
Yeah, sooner.
Ignore anything we say. Yeah.
Sooner rather than later, I would anticipate they will file, the Trump people will file a motion in federal court asking that Colorado be ordered to do it. Then Colorado will appeal, and then we jump up, and who knows what the Supreme Court does. And I think in the meantime, as you said, it keeps Tina Peters' name in there. It makes it harder for anybody to go away. And it also, because enough has come out about the election, just like the Hunter Biden laptop story, Russiagate, all of this information that comes out, people no longer just believe the Denver Post or, you know, Colorado Sun when they keep calling her election denier, election conspiracy. I mean, yeah, there was a conspiracy, but it wasn't, Tina Peters didn't make it up. Tina Peters just caught evidence of it, and that's why they put her in jail. So I think that it continues, in my opinion, to undermine sort of in the general public the way the media reports on it. I think that an average reasonable person, excluding Jimmy Sengenberger, I guess, who thinks she should stay in prison,
forever,
would say that, you know,
it's cruel little heart.
We have murderers, we have rapists, we have all kinds of,
Jimmy
yeah.
Sengenberger just loved
the Tina
the
Peters,
torture.
Who's completely nonviolent, right? Tina Peters, she deserves to be in prison for 9 years.
I could see Jimmy Sengenberger at the Inquisition. They put the person on the rack, and Jimmy got tighter the screws.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. I mean, and that's a fast developing one. I think with Trump's remarks today, he made it clear they're not going to back down, and maybe that's what he's doing, is telling Colorado, we can try to work something out here. I don't know what they could work out, though. I mean, I don't know how, you know, Phil Weiser, who is running for governor, is not going to let Polis do something reasonable on this. I don't think, do you?
Well, it's not up to Phil Weiser, but.
Well, he will hammer Polis. I mean the fight within.
If Polis wanted to do what he wants to do, he doesn't care what Phil Weiser wants. If Phil Weiser wanted to release, I don't think he's going to do what he thinks. He's a governor.
Do you think Colorado is going to do anything? Do you think the Colorado is going to reach out and say, okay, how about if we keep her like 4 more days?
No.
And then I don't either. And so we'll see. I think, you know, again, we were completely wrong about the pardon. So when we say, I mean, I think, I don't know that the Supreme Court would weigh, the U.S. Supreme Court would take this case. No. I mean, it's hard to, it's given, again, they can do anything they want, right? If they want to find a way to take the case, they can take the case. If they don't, they can find a way to kick it off. So, so a lot going on there, but I think all of it.
Yeah, there was, back in the 1930s, there was this legal movement in the big schools like Yale and Harvard called legal realism. And basically, they said all legal stuff is bullshit. For every saying, there's a contrary saying. So if you have a contract and you look at it and say, well, okay, it doesn't expressly say that, but we'll go by what do you think they intended? You know, that'd be one. Another way, no, we're going to do exactly what they said. Well, you know, depending on which way you want to go in the case, you can adopt either of those two arguments. And same with all the other ones on Trump, the Insurrection Act of 1866, does it apply or doesn't it? Well, it pretty clearly doesn't apply, but that didn't bother the Colorado Supreme Court. Majority of those justices said, yeah, Trump can't run here in Colorado.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, you kind of go, well, okay. And when the federal judge said, oh, you know, before
Well, you look at all the nonsense that Boasberg is pulling, right? It's like, you know, it's a crazy. So this from Leo, Tina Peters and Company starring in Jailbreak 2026 coming to a podcast near you. Well, you know, and that's a thing. I will caution people. When you look on Facebook, you see people getting all riled up saying, why doesn't
Victor Marx wants to become governor. What didn't he take? You know, he's used to this stuff. Break in and release her.
He's been saying, send the federal marshals and this or that. And the thing is I think that they can, but that doesn't move anything further ahead because they still are faced with, I mean, I think that's what Tikkun said. Hey, we're on our way. We're here to get Tina. Hello. And they said, no, we're not going to release her. We don't recognize that.
Yeah, let us in.
And it's going to have to go to court. And so, unfortunately, I think as frustrating it is as it can be, because, you know, obviously this is such a crucial case and she is clearly a political prisoner.
Oh, no question.
I think for people to get upset and say, you know, well, why are we doing more? It's like, I don't know what more they could do, really, right? I mean, he pardoned her. I mean, that was a strong, bold move, I think. And to send federal marshals there, what, they're not going to get in a shootout with the Colorado Department of Corrections people. I mean, that wouldn't do anybody any good, and it certainly wouldn't get Tina.
Yeah.
That wouldn't get Tina out either. So, but I think I have a feeling that the Trump people will move fast on this.
Well, it doesn't matter if they move fast. The courts aren't going to move fast. But it's just keep the pressure up, keep it going,
right.
And keep it, you know. In the meantime, you know, Tina's got a 4-inch mattress, which is better than a 2-inch one. And so she's sleeping a little bit better.
What Trump can do is keep up the pressure on Colorado. Like I said, the Department of the DOJ opened up an investigation into the Colorado Department of Corrections.
Yeah.
I think some of it based on Tina, but some of it based on other stuff. And it's kind of fun to watch the liberals kind of trip over themselves on this, because on the one hand, the liberals hate the Department of Corrections and they want the Department of Corrections investigated. But on the other hand, they're like, well, maybe it's a political stunt, which it is, of course. Well, maybe it's not. But I mean, it's certainly, there's politics involved. But they're like, but yet we do want them investigated. So they don't know what to say, right? They don't know, do they like
it?
It's
so tough being liberal.
It is. And then in the meantime, too, the Trump administration did finally sue Jenna Griswold, saying turn over the voter rolls. So one of them.
Now that's a good lawsuit.
Right.
The idea that Jenna Griswold can refuse to turn over voter rolls that are used in federal elections to determine who can vote, can't vote, and saying, no, it's just mine.
Right.
You gotta be kidding me.
Well, and here's what she says. Her reasoning is so stupid. She says, I can't turn it over. And the Denver Post and the liberal media keep reporting this because it contains private information. It's like,
whoa.
We're talking about the freaking federal government here. I guarantee you, the federal government has your information. They know your name. They know your social security number. They know what your deductions are. They know how much you spent on toothpaste. I mean, to imply that somehow Jenna Griswold needs to protect private information.
Big on privacy. I'll
just leak all those passwords and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
I'm big on privacy.
It's just ridiculous. You said that like federal government
private information.
It's like that they already
comical.
Have. Yeah, that they already
comical.
Have. And I think you're absolutely right. For her to argue that they don't have the right to see it in, you know, the voter rolls, I think, is a losing argument. Now, there again, that could take forever. But
that's a losing argument if you get the right judge or don't. Yeah, I can promise you, you get a Biden judge, and they'll go, oh no, it's private information. We can't do that.
Well, I mean, as always, it's what's going to happen is it's going to bounce around in the lower courts, and then eventually it'll get up to the Supreme
Court. That one, I think, should be granted. You know, someday.
Right.
25 years from now, we'll get to it.
But again, I think the DOJ is keeping the pressure on states like Colorado. And then in the meantime, what they can do, and I think they did say they'll do this, is they'll withhold money, right? They'll withhold federal funds. Say, okay, you don't give us things. We won't give you federal funds. So we won't be able to redo the 16th Street Mall, I guess. So that's what's going on there. I wanted to, Jacob, watch something else that you've been kind of following closely too. Another Somali community in Columbus, Ohio has been accused of spending welfare money to the same people, same as the scams that were going on in Minnesota, which seems to be coming bigger by the day. You got to wonder Well, it's a Biden administration, so no one cared. I mean, billions of dollars and just complete fraud is going on there.
I mean, the USA program
is
billions of NOGs who were doing nothing.
NGOs,
G-O-D, there's something, GOPs, NGOs, and so they didn't care. The fact that Somalis are ripping off millions, billions, it makes no difference. And I guarantee you, if you're out in Minnesota, and you've just doing a scam where the government just hands you $1 million, you're gonna tell your buddies in Portland, Maine, and up in Dearborn, Michigan, and down in Ohio, they'll go, how much can you get? You get millions.
Keep in mind, I mean, this is what it is this is not just a bunch of individuals randomly scam, and this is organized crime, right? So the way it works is you have these organized criminal gangs come in and they set up the scam, and then they reach out to people in the Somali community and they say, hey, you're going to sign up your autistic kid. And if they say, well, I don't have an autistic kid, they say, sure you do. And then you get a bit of
what's an autistic kid,
right?
What do you want to be?
Yeah, you get a bit, so the person, the family gets a bit of a cutback,
spread around
the criminal gang person gets a cutback, the doctor gets a cutback, the agency gets more funding. And I think money then goes back to whatever that's, you know, the organized crime central bank. That's how it works. So they're clearly not just doing it in Minnesota. I think it was peak there because in particular,
they're
no one cared.
Good at it.
Yeah. And they were very good at it. But I think anywhere, and I'm sure that they're not the only ones doing it, right? They probably have all kinds of organized crime people doing that, doing something similar because no one cared, right? And again, it's so keep that in mind. It's just not random people thinking, oh, look, I could get away with that. No, it's organized and the money is all going, you know, to various people and it's all coming from our pocket, right?
Well, it's going somewhere anyway. It's going to somebody's pocket, not your own, because that's not where the moment, once the federal government gets the money, you ain't getting it back, and the amount of it will benefit you is disproportionately small compared to the amount you put in, but that's the way it's been all time. So they're building the pyramids, you know, no different.
Right. Well, and, you know, I think on one hand, you'd think if they go after the doctors, because at some level there are doctors and people involved in this, but they...
Well, they only have about 86 people and 56 have been convicted. They have to have hundreds of parents who kind of, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, I'll pretend we have an autistic kid and they ought to arrest them too. I mean, it should be. It shouldn't be. They should get away with it. Go, well, you know, we don't be mean to the Somali community. I mean, it should be thousands of people probably, because thousands of people benefit.
Well, and then let's hope that with DOGE that they sort of set up some sort of checks and balances system. It's like the fact that this is, and you're right, it's probably not, the fact that this is out there and so easily taken advantage of. You got all these other people going, oh, we could do, I know plenty of autistic kids.
Well, they
you know?
Seem autistic to me.
Yeah, and these are future kids who are going to be
that's
autistic.
Red autistic, yeah.
Well, and yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you should see them sometimes.
Yeah, and Leo, send them back to Somalia, very simple. Yeah, well, watch when you bring them in, right? Watch who's coming in and you know.
Can't do that.
Yeah, there's that too. Well, the immigration. So all of this is coming out. I think
it's. Well, the one good point about all this, and I have to say it, you can see if we reveal, you know, the canard that illegal immigration is bad, but we all love legal immigration, is so wrong, because much of the legal immigration is a fraud in itself. It's Ilhan Omar marrying her brother so she can get
right.
In. It's huge amounts of Afghan refugees, even today. Now, the Afghan government, which hates the United States purportedly, certainly allows them to immigrate to the United States. And you get the Americans, oh, this would be great because they're our buddies. You know, well, not exactly. And how many more Islamic groups would you like to have in the United States? So you can have another Bondi Bridge for your very own.
Well, and I was reading a thing that said, I think that was like 80% of the economy in Somalia comes from remittances
yes.
sent back, right? So the whole, so the economy there is based on the scam.
TS agents said they take this entire suitcases full of hundreds and thousands of dollars. And they'd bring over the law enforcement person and he would check with whoever, Biden, oh yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Well, and then you look, did you guys see the thing? This today was astonishing to me. And you're like, of course, it's like these people, you know, yes, there are immigrants who need help, legal or otherwise. But it seems like the United States is just like, we've set ourselves up to be this like complete fool of a country, right? That we have these things where we can let people bilk us for billions of dollars and we don't do anything about it because we don't want to seem like we're not being nice. And so now in this whole citizen birthright thing, did you see there's a Chinese billionaire, apparently this is a massive industry, who has 100 children who are American citizens. So what they do is there is this whole industry that's cropped up again, which American companies I'm sure are making money at, but in Asia. So what they do is it's an in vitro fertilization kind of thing,
sure.
Right? And so they send, and so they never even actually leave China. They send the pieces and parts that are necessary over, and then they hire surrogate mothers in the United States, and the baby is born, and then they have a nanny, basically, that takes, so now the baby is an American citizen,
right.
And then they take the child back to China. And apparently, this guy himself claims to have 100,
sure.
Right? And it's like, no, that's not what the birthright citizen thing was set up for.
Well, how do you know that wasn't?
It's because, well, they didn't even have it back then.
Well, they did, but, you know, I mean, so it doesn't matter. Sure they did. You bet they did. I love those Chinese billionaires. I mean, it's just an amazing process where we're ripped off, but we're not ripped off. That implies They're not in on it. And the Democratic Party is absolutely in on it. They're in on every scam. You know, I mean, you know, they didn't just come up with the Clinton Foundation. I mean, that's many years.
The Supreme Court is looking at, Leo, I think they're it's before the Supreme Court. Yes. I don't think they've issued a ruling. No. But that's one of those things. I mean, there's no way that, but the Democrats, like, and those people are all probably registered to vote too, by the way, that you can have this injury is, you know, been set up. So they want these people to have American citizenship because now they can get American. They've got social security numbers. They've got all of that. I'm assuming.
Well, chain migrations, they can get their parents in. My parents.
Billionaires. They don't want to come over here. They just want to
they'd like a U.S. citizenship though.
Right.
They'd say, I want my parents to have U.S. citizenship. And maybe they can get one of Trump's $1 million Visa cards.
Right. I mean, it's just insane the abuse that goes on there. And at least under Trump, we're finding it out. Right, under the Democrats, we would have been deniers or we would have been racist.
This whole idea that legal immigration is good for the country, it isn't. It's awful. It's awful. It's huge scams all over the place. Or else there are millions from India. I mean, you know, we all love India, but really? That helps us to have millions more from India.
Yeah, and Jacob says, meanwhile, no health plan. Yeah. Oh, we just got, so we have, you know, health insurance obviously for Rev that for no apparent reason went up like $60 now, just starting now. We got the notice. It's like, oh, yeah, I just want to let you know that's going to be going up. It's like this, nothing has changed. The service hasn't changed. And that's because, and I saw a thing there too today going into the grocery store. They were happy to tell me that I could get my COVID and flu shot available for free.
That's right.
So let's think of this. So here we have the American government, our tax dollars. The pharmaceutical companies could care less whether anyone, actually, I think they don't want people to get their, let me just finish. They don't, okay. Yeah, they don't want people to get the COVID shots because then they can sue them because they turn out to be so bad. Well, more bad publicity. I'm joking there. But they've already, whatever, the government has already bought however many are out there, right? They paid the pharmaceutical companies. And it's like, so you could get it for free. I'm like, I wanted to ask, and I'm like, I don't want to say
it. Can I get a punch in the face free too?
Yeah.
Pluto here will punch you in the face. Free.
And Leo says, and laughing out loud, in 1992, I was paying $35 a month for full health coverage. Good old days. Yeah, this is for Rev. It's like, it's, you know, the equivalent of catastrophic. I think if it's like his head gets cut off or something like that, and we can rush him to the hospital in time.
Oh, not really. But
they
pay for funeral stuff.
It's sort of that the whole insurance thing. Yeah, the Affordable Care Act was nothing near affordable. No, it was never designed to be. And the whole thing failed. I mean, obviously, as people warned at the time, it was, you know, the lie that was spun was that, well, all of the healthy people who have to go on it, they will pay for all the sick people. Instead, none of the healthy people went on it because it was so unaffordable. So,
well, but I don't care. They always say Republicans come up with their own. You are going to have big problems when you have unlimited need, which is what health insurance is. I mean, it's get older and older.
Right.
You know, America, unlimited with limited resources. That's always going to be a disaster in some form or the other. It can't help but being a disaster. And maybe you do things like if you're 80 years old, you can't have hip surgery or whatever else. But it's, you know, unlimited need, limited resources, not going to work out.
The math doesn't work out. That's not advanced calculus. Dr. Donna says the fellow I ran against last year is the leader of pushing universal health care.
Yeah,
you know, they don't talk about that so much anymore. I think people get the idea that that's not the best idea. You know, want to talk about one other thing too, just kind of two other things really. More rumors again, and I never know what to make of these. Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, Fox is reporting, and you would think Fox might know, or at least have some sources because, well, yeah, exactly. The Dan Bongino is going to decide in the next few weeks whether he's going to stay on at the FBI. I'm not sure.
Why is it taking the next few weeks?
Yeah, I think, I think the implication is that he and Pam Bondi are like both pleading their case to Trump, and that Cash Patel too. And a big deal is being made that, you know, again, in the Brown University, they took, I don't think they arrested him. I think they took a person of interest into custody and then let the person go. And now they don't. But again, they're trying to, I think Cash Patel keeps getting set up by FBI agents, number one.
Sure.
And Dan Bongino, too. I think things
are
the same
thing about Trump, he learned. You never let the bad guys have their scalps. Never.
Yeah.
So even where he thinks the person is just awful, which was the Florida congressman he put in charge of, God, what did he put in charge of? I don't know.
Matt Gaetz.
No. The one he replaced him made UN ambassador. He pumped him up to UN ambassador. I think national security advisor, I
Oh.
think it was the position. And he found out, no, this guy's screwing me behind my back. So, but he bumps him up. So,
Yeah.
he's not going to fire people who've been loyal, but everybody's going after. And just because CBS News or somebody wants a scalp, they're.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, look at the Democrats certainly don't do that. They ran Biden for president, right? It's like, and then Kamala Harris, so they don't.
After having Biden as president, you
I
can't complain about anything. I mean, you really
know.
can't.
But I kind of think, though, that they're being set up and that's a narrative they're pushing. And I think, that's not going to go away. But I also think one of the reasons that is because, that Trump, I think, and certain people within his administration are kind of over the target there, right? They're targeting the deep state. I think in particular, Tulsi Gabbard
Yes, they've been after her
is over
forever.
the, yeah. So I think anytime, and if they can just kind of keep stirring things up, then that's what makes the headlines. And there's this vague impression, like I said, that there's no, nothing's affordable anymore. Or
Yeah.
even though I guess now the predictions, the housing market's going to crash,
Probably is.
but not for the next few years.
Well,
In Denver, if they're selling downtown office buildings for $3 million, it's going to be
you're gonna
like,
put up you and your entire family.
From Jacob Tulsi's getting all the bad news from the Democrats. The other thing too, I mean, did you have anything else you wanted to bring up or talk about?
Well, there's so many good things to talk about. The massacre at Bondi Beach. I mean, one, I didn't know they had a Jewish beach in Australia, but apparently that is, they got out there and knowing whoever they hit on the beach was going to be Jewish, which is interesting. But also, it's also interesting that, for a long time, the biggest advocates of unlimited immigration have been Jewish groups, in part going back to their own problems getting into places like the United States in the 1940s, flee from Germany and everything else, but also have been the biggest advocates. And you kind of go, well, maybe you ought to alter that one because you keep on getting Afghan, Islamic Afghans and Somalis and everyone else, you're going to find out what unlimited immigration does and why some people maybe back in the 1940s were not dying to have unlimited immigration. So, I mean, I think that whole awful massacre is going to have a lot of reverberations in Australia. Of course, the others go gun control,
Yeah, can
everything.
control. Well, you kind of want to think, I mean, so that one guy, what a hero, tackled the gunman. You kind of think, oh, I don't know, maybe if someone in the crowd had a weapon, was armed,
Yeah,
do you know
they
what I
could fight
mean? They
back.
could have done something,
Yeah.
right? Because the cops, I don't know where the cops were. Well, sometimes these things happen fast. But it's like, yeah, more gun
They're up
control.
there 20 minutes, so it wasn't a fast
Yeah.
response
So, I mean, yeah,
time.
that's, you're right. That's exactly what Australia said, is they need more gun control about that.
And so that's, and so then that relates or doesn't relate to the bond at the Brown University case where they apparently arrested the poor guy who had nothing to do with it or did
Well,
or.
I think you want to be careful using there's a difference, and I don't mean to necessarily defend the FBI here. There's a difference between taking somebody into custody. People get taken into custody, and I mean sometimes that's just an unfortunate, if you're that person, part of the process where something seems to point at you, you get taken into custody, and then you're released. There's a difference between being taken into custody
And
and
charged.
arrested. Well, not even charged, but arrested. You're arrested for investigation, so it's not uncommon at all for law enforcement agencies to end up questioning somebody, and you take them into custody while you're questioning them. And then you have to let them, it's not kind of like it's entirely voluntary, but you have to let them go within a pretty
No.
24 hours, something like that, or charge them. And so to a certain extent, they quickly, it seemed like, determined, okay, this guy didn't have anything to do with it. So I don't know if you're, I don't think it's fair, this is just me, to say, well, that's some kind of incompetency, because how do you know until you get the person, right? Until you have time to look at it. So if you have some evidence that's pointing one way,
Well, they gave out his name, and I forget it was a very kind
well,
of
that happens.
sad name.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so we don't know if that was a terror attack, not a terror attack. Some guy who drove all the way from somewhere, I
Well,
guess,
it's gonna,
Wisconsin.
yeah. Denver, this is from Jacob. Denver police once busted down a neighbor's door, then find out the police had the wrong address. They never paid for the door repairs. No, sometimes that's just a cost of doing business, right? Just like if you're driving your car down the street and you get hit by a golf ball because they don't have nets up by the city park, they don't pay for that. They don't pay for pothole damage or anything like that. And one other thing, too, this kind of goes to sort of the surveillance state. So we, Xcel, sent out a notice to us, and then our son is in the Boulder Valley School District, that Wednesday, because there's supposed to be really high winds, following, I think, the fires, the Marshall Fire in Superior, where I think Xcel power lines were somehow involved, and they ended up with massive lawsuits. Now, basically, the response is, okay, we're just going to shut off everyone's power.
We're just going to load
everyone's power.
We can't be responsible when it gets windy, because we're not built for wind.
Everyone's power is going to be shut off, but not everyone's, but they'll say, we'll let you know. Yeah, we'll let you know if it's going to be affecting you. But the schools, I mean, they have finals, right? The school is like, we'll let you know what happens. But we're not, the school is like, obviously we can't have school if we don't have power. But it makes you stop and think, they want to get rid of natural gas in Colorado. They're like, no more natural gas.
Yeah, get rid of that.
So you have Xcel. If they just don't like you, or they don't like that you're using natural gas or anything like that, I mean, it is kind of concerning. They can just turn off your power, right?
Yeah,
they could just say, that's really windy at that Chuck and Julie's house. So we're just gonna knock off the power there. It's not that windy at their neighbor's house because of the trees and stuff like that. But it's just one of those whole surveillance. Oh, from Leo, Wednesday alert, buy ice to keep the beer cold during the outage. Or better yet, Leo, just keep drinking it in case so it doesn't get warm.
You don't care if it's cold or not. It's
like, I was forced to drink all the beer here in case they turned off the power. You might want to start drinking it tonight, depending on how much beer you have.
Get a buzz going.
So we'll let you know. Theoretically, we'll be fine on Wednesday. If not, we'll use our cell phones. So all right, that's going to do it for us. And
that'll do it for us.
Hopefully, we'll survive the high winds on Wednesday. Hey, thank you to everybody on Zoom and everybody at BBS. And we will see you all on Wednesday.
Take care.